Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. We were talking about the interlude between the story of the two caves, the men in the two gardens, and the story of Musa alayhi salam. And we have a few ayat left before we begin the story of Musa. So we move on to verse 52 now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُ. And remember, yesterday we were talking about the day of judgment, so we're still, the context is still the day of judgment. So Allah says, on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the disbelievers, Nadu shuraka'iya alladhina za'amtum. Go ahead and call those false gods that you presumed were gods besides me. Go ahead and make dua to them. So, فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُمْ. They will call their false gods on the day of judgment. As they used to call their gods in this world, they will call them on the day of judgment. And there will not be any response. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. And how can there be a response when Allah is saying, we have made a big barrier of destruction between these false gods and between those who used to worship them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse emphasizes the futility of shirk. And He threatens and He mocks those who commit shirk. You used to call them in this world, now in the day of judgment, go ahead and call, see if they will respond to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ. After they call out to their false gods, their gods will not respond. Now those people will see the fire of hell. فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا. They know that they will fall into it. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they will not find any way to save themselves from the fire of hell. And this is a threat to the Quraysh and to all of those who worshipped others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. They will not find a way out from the fire of hell. Then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا. The same verb. And here there's an eloquence called tajanus, where similar verbs are used. Allah says, they will not find a masrifa away from Jahannam. And here in the Quran, we have made صَرَّفْنَا. It is as if Allah is saying, if you want to be protected from Jahannam, you had better follow the Quran. There's no masrifa from Jahannam other than وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ. We have made the way out through the Quran. There's an implicit tajanus over here using the same verb. Allah says, we have clarified, we have, صَرَّفْنَا means shown through a variety of means. صَرَّفَ يعني بَيَّنَ, with many different ways. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. We have clarified, elucidated in this Quran for all of mankind through so many different parables, every mathal. So Allah is saying, we have told you through stories, we have told you through signs, we have told you through facts. When will you believe? What will cause you to believe? Allah uses multiple methods to get the message across. And Allah is saying, where is it that you have rejected me? وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. The problem is, most of mankind, all they know how to do is to dispute and to argue. Jadal is simply argumentation. What if and why not and this and that. It's not a matter of سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And if you notice in the Quran, argumentation, generally speaking, has been discouraged. Argumentation is discouraged. Why? Because truth is clear from error. And argumentation, philosophizing too much, why this and why not that and what about this, it's simply a waste of time. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that mujadala or kathrat al-mujadala or a lot of argumentation is not of the sign of the believer. The believer, he hears and he obeys. When he knows it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hears and he obeys. And in fact, there is a hadith in which the Prophet he quoted this ayah, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا, to show that sometimes even a little bit of what if and why not is simply not, I'm not going to say permitted, but it is not, if you like, encouraged. The hadith goes as follows, that one time the Prophet ﷺ visited the house of his daughter Fatima late at night, and he knocked on their door, and lo and behold, Fatima and Ali were sleeping. They were not awake. So he said, why haven't you been praying tahajjud? SubhanAllah, he assumed that his daughter and his son-in-law would be praying tahajjud. SubhanAllah, look at this. He assumed that why aren't you doing qiyamul layl? And this was not the nights of Ramadan. These were the regular nights. But he had a high standard for his daughter. He had a high standard for his son-in-law. So he said, why aren't you praying qiyamul layl right now? And so Ali radiallahu anhu, perhaps he was sleepy, perhaps he wanted, he felt embarrassed. He said, Ya Rasulullah, our souls are with Allah at night when we sleep. And if Allah had wanted us to pray, He could send our souls back, right? It's not my fault, I'm asleep basically, right? And so the Prophet ﷺ began hitting his hand on his thighs and saying, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. That how argumentative is man. I'm just saying, why didn't you pray tahajjud? And instead you say, Allah has our souls and He could have sent. So the point being that, and this is not something haram that Ali said, right? It's not wajib to pray tahajjud, but still to make an excuse and then to say, Allah has our souls and if Allah had will. So this is a type of mujadala that our Prophet ﷺ, he did not approve of. And the point being that, as we said, too much philosophizing, too much thinking about why this and why that, this is not of the characteristic of the believers. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in what Allah has said. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The ones that Allah say, that الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. They listen to what Allah has to say and they follow it أَحْسَنَهُ, in the best way possible. And if you want to philosophize and say why this and why that, for every why there is a why not, and for every if there is a but, and every time you want to keep on going deeper, you will find ways to block the truth, and this is not of the ways of the believers. And here this verse is particularly pertinent. Why? Because the Quraysh came to challenge the Prophet ﷺ, tell us the truth, and Allah has told them the truth. Now what will they say? Now how will they reject? They will begin to jadala. They will begin to invent things. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. And what has prevented mankind from believing? What is the problem with mankind that they do not believe when the guidance has come to them? And ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask their Lord for forgiveness. But the problem is they will not believe until one of two things happen. Until the Sunnat al-Awwaleen, what has happened to the previous nations will happen to them. What happened to the previous nations? Destruction. One nation was destroyed by earthquakes, another by flooding, another by the wind, another by this and that. أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. Or the punishment will come to them directly, face to face. And this means the death or the day of judgment. So Allah is saying, why don't you believe? Are you waiting for one of two things? Are you waiting for the punishments of the people of old? Or are you waiting for Yawm al-Qiyamah and death? And some have interpreted the Azab here being the Battle of Badr. And this is not too far from the truth, because when this verse came down, it was in the Meccan era. And their first major punishment was the Battle of Badr. So some of the early scholars have said, أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. This is a warning for them that there will be a battle and you will face it. Qubul means face to face. You will see the azab and it will come and it will get you. And this was the Battle of Badr, and this is not too far from the truth. And if one were to say that this is a generic punishment, if they don't believe, you have one of two options. Either a punishment will come right here and now, or a punishment will come to your face through the angel of death. And both of these are valid interpretations. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also by the way, in the previous verse, we see over here the blessings of istighfar. Why? Because Allah says, why didn't they turn and ask Allah for forgiveness? يَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ. Which means the worst of the worst will be forgiven if they turn to Allah and ask for His forgiveness. Those whom Allah has just threatened with the azab, those whom Allah has just said, there's going to be nothing preventing you from Jahannam. Then Allah says, why didn't they ask me for forgiveness? Why don't they say Astaghfirullah to their Lord? And this shows us, when a person turns to Allah, then no matter what his sin is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this sin. And Allah gives them another chance. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. We're sending you prophets. And these prophets are meant to be warners and to be givers of glad tidings. And this is a constant theme of the Quran. Good and bad, punishment and mercy, Jahannam and Jannah are always paired together. The prophets come with a message of mercy and tolerance and the message of threat and warnings. And if you think about it, this is the logical religion. Some of the religions there, they claim that they're all about mercy and all about compassion. This is their claim. But the fact of the matter is, a mercy that is a religion that only says love and compassion can never live up to its own values, because we cannot just be all the time loving and compassionate. There must be a time of strictness. Nobody can live this type of lifestyle. And this is the reality, that even those countries that claim to be following such religions, they are the furthest in their actions from implementing that. The religion of truth, the religion of common sense, the religion of logic, it is a religion of love and mercy, but there's also a side that is strict. If you obey Allah and if you are righteous, here are the Jannat. But if you're so arrogant as to disobey, then that that is the punishment waiting for you. And this is common sense and logic, and this is the religion of Islam. And the prophets have come, mubashirin wa mundhirin. They give glad tidings, and they're also warning against impending evil if you reject. And what is the response of those whom the prophets come to? وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Once again, mujadala, jadal. Once again, argumentation. Those who reject, they have nothing to do other than argue. What if this, and how could he be this? And they're making this argument with batil, with no foundation. There's not a shred of reason. There's not a shred of logic to reject the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything about him is screaming the truth. His message, his lifestyle, his miracles, the Quran, everything tells you this is the true religion. How can you reject it except by inventing false logic, by philosophizing through batil, and by rejecting the truth through invented rhetoric? لِيُدْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ, so that the truth can be destroyed or wiped out. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا, and they have taken my verses and my signs and all that I have warned about, they have taken this as something of ridicule. And this shows us ridiculing Allah and His messengers can never come from the heart of the believer. When the people reject the Quran, they have to end up making fun of it. They have to end up mocking the religion. And this is not of the characteristics of a noble opponent. This is not of the characteristics of a noble heart. And Allah says, any who end up rejecting my signs, they end up mocking it. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ. So who does more wrong? Who can be more sinful? Who can be more arrogant than the one who was reminded of the verses of Allah, and all that he did was he turned around in arrogance. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. And this shows us that the one who has been exposed to the message has no excuse. But the one who has not heard of Islam, and he has not been exposed to the message, this person might have an excuse. Because Allah says, who does more wrong than the one who was shown my signs and then turns around? So then if he wasn't shown the signs, and he didn't know of Islam, and he was ignorant of the religion, this person might have an excuse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we leave his affair to Allah. But the one who heard the Quran, who learned the message of Islam, who was exposed to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then his response was to turn his back to it. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَا. And he forgot his own lifestyle, what evil he did. He forgot all of his sins. Who does more wrong than this person? إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. Once he has shown this arrogance, what does Allah do? We will put a seal on their hearts. We will cover up their ears, and they will not be able to understand their message, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, we have this point of qadr here. When you show evil, Allah azza wa jalla will be strict with you. When you show good, Allah azza wa jalla will be gentle with you. These people were arrogant, so what does Allah do? We made them even more blind. We made them even more deaf. We covered up their hearts. How can they possibly be seek guidance? وَإِن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If that is the case, when you call them to guidance, how do they expect ever to be guided? Yet Allah says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُ الرَّحْمَةِ. Despite all of this, Allah is saying, but your Lord ever will remain al-ghafoor. He will always continue to forgive, and He will always have mercy. And if Allah were to deal with you as you deserve, وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If Allah were to treat you as you deserve, لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. The punishment would have come right now. If really you want to be fair, if Allah were to be fair with you, you would deserve punishment right now. بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ. But they will have a time. So they have some lapse. They have some time to think about. They have some time to seek forgiveness, to be guided if they want. But if they don't take advantage of that time, لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. They will never find an escape from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, and this is a threat to the Prophet, and even it's a consolation to the Prophet, a threat to the Quraysh, excuse me, and a consolation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to us. Sometimes we question. Sometimes the Muslims questioned, Bilal questioned, others questioned, Ya Rasulullah, where is Allah's adab upon these people? Why doesn't Allah take them into account now? Why are we suffering in this manner? We as well, we ask when we see the situation of the globe, when we see what is happening in Syria and here and there, أَيْنَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ When will the adab come upon these tughat, upon these evil people? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا This is the point. Allah has everything written down. Allah is seeing what they're doing. When these cities and towns, when they disobeyed and transgressed, we took them to account. But وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا There is a time. And that time will not be precipitated. It won't be made hasty just because you don't understand Allah's wisdom. The Quraysh have a time. Ad had a time. Thamud had a time. Fir'aun had a time. Every taghiya on the face of this earth has a time. Allah is watching what they're doing. And Allah knows what is the reality. And when that time comes, they will not be able to be saved from the punishment as it comes down. So this is a consolation to the Prophet and the Muslims that the Quraysh will face what they have to face. It is a threat to those who reject Islam, that the time will come. Until that time, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُ الرَّحْمَةِ And anyone who repents before the adab comes, Allah is always forgiving. And this is of the greatest mercies of Allah, that no matter how evil a person has been, if they repent before the adab comes, before the maut comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that repentance. But when the adab or when the maut comes, that is the point. وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا There is a maut that will never be able to be changed for them. And inshaAllah, tomorrow we will begin the story of Musa and Khidr and the many wisdoms that we can derive. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.